Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is April the 6th in the year 2012. So we're live tonight. That's all I can tell is just to give you the date, then you'll know we're live. Okay, the pollen here is really kicking up. You know, the weather, everything is so strange and it's all mixed up. We don't even know what season it is. But the trees are coming out, so the pollen is real thick in the air. My body's still trying to figure out where we are anyway. What country, what state, what season, what time of the year? I don't know. Okay. Well, tonight, Julia is joining me again. You know, usually when she's here, we do it together in the same room. But she has been at our office in England for the last month. And most of you probably know that we do have another office now for the Ozark Mountain Publishing, and it is in England. And we have people working for us over there now, and it's helping a lot getting the books into England and into the continent. So she's over there, and she's joining me by Skype from over there. Of course, there it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay, Julia, you're there?
I'm here. Yes, I had to take a nap earlier just so I could be here.
So I was thinking for you, it's time to go to bed, really.
It's past time to go to bed.
But if you're going to stay up a little longer, another hour anyway, and we can do this show. Right. Last week, we had a fantastic show with Doreen Virtue. And yeah, a lot of people were calling in and getting angel messages from her, and it was really a good show. So if you call in tonight, don't look for angel messages. Those are Doreen's thing.
Yeah, we'll do our best to bring in whatever messages we get, though.
So. Yeah, because Julie's pretty good at picking up messages. You know, they do talk to her, and she's able to hear them. So you never know what they're going to tell
her. That doesn't mean
I'm
a phone-in psychic, though. So don't do that.
So. Well, you know, they do talk to you, and so you tell people what they say.
Right. I'll give a message if I get one, but don't be calling expecting a psychic.
Yeah, because that's what they were doing with Doreen, and she used to doing that. Okay, let me give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call. And this number is good all over the world, so doesn't matter where you're calling from. 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. Okay. And, Julia's been over there, and there's been a lot happening in England, too. In our company here, Ozark Mountain is just growing fantastically. We're having a hard time keeping up with it, the way everything is happening. It's just all of a sudden, the company, the books, everything are just exploding all over the place. And so we're having quite a challenge to keep up with the growth spurt that we're going through, plus the amount of books that we're publishing. As you know, we have about over 40 authors in addition to my books. So there's a lot happening. So she's busy over there, too. And so I don't expect it to slow down anyway. Everything is really speeded up.
Well, no, it's a sign of the times. I mean, people are waking up, and as more waking up, then they're coming over here wanting answers. And that's why more and more people are discovering you and us and everything. So it's just a sign of what's happening in the world. People are waking
because
up.
I remember when I started out in this 45 years ago, and even up till 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, we didn't have this much interest.
Right.
You know, they weren't that interested in metaphysics. A lot of people didn't even know what that was. And they certainly weren't interested in past life regression. We were considered the oddballs. Mm-hmm. But now in my lectures, the place is packed. And especially the young people, to them, this is just very common and makes a lot of sense and it's ordinary. Like, they just stepped right into this without any questioning about it at all.
Well, that would be those waves, the latest waves there. But in general, if you look at the mass, you know, there you can see this wave happening, this shifting happening. Now you still have some people, I mean, you're certain, you know, I'm sure the corporate world where, and it may be that they're just corporate in those places, but you just look, just watch. You'll see that things are changing, and even the media, you know, things are different on television and things. You just watch. Watch with open eyes, and you'll see that it really is shifting.
Because, you know, in the past, we would have conferences and talks and lectures, and it was always people who were into this kind of thing. But then all of a sudden, it's like everybody, everywhere we go, is just very interested in it. And I noticed it in China. They were coming from all over China to attend my lecture, and they were into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the young people, they don't realize there was a time when people didn't even talk about these kind of things. So they have stepped right into this and accepting it.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing. But the internet does have a lot to do with it.
Yes.
I've said that before. Some of them, even my clients are coming to see me and saying they just discovered me. I said, well, I haven't been hiding. I've been out there 45 years doing my work. My book's been out there since the 80s. But it's like all of a sudden, you know, where have you been hiding? I didn't know anything about you.
Right.
Okay, well, tell us something, the things that you've been doing over there. Catch people up on that.
Well, first of all, the weather isn't as nice here as it is there. I mean, it was for a while, and then now, lately, it's like it's back to the end of winter or something. So, not sure what it's doing. And I even heard somebody mention something about snow, and I'm like, no. But anyway.
Well, here, we didn't have a winter. We just right into spring, and last week it was like we were going into summer. So that is a big difference then from where you are.
Right, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But we went to, the Probe Conference was about a week ago, and that was in Blackpool, England. Well, I'm just drawing a blank here because we've been doing several things, so I'm trying to remember what all we did. But we went up there, and that was lovely. Vitaly gave a memorial. He did a memorial video to Jean, because Jean had passed away just a few months ago. And
she was one of the founders of that, wasn't she?
Yeah, Jean and Sam. Uh-huh. So Sam was there, and he's such a delightful person. And this was his first one doing it after she's gone, so it was a big, big step for him to do that. And so that was very heart-touching and everything. So that was good. We had a great time. It was a good conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And then just this week we went to
Norwich.
James and Lynn Franklin have a group there, and they invited us to speak, Vitaly and I. And so we went there, and that went really well. We made some more contacts, and from there another person is wanting us to speak at their group later in the month. So it's just all things are happening there. So that's
well,
fun.
Well, a lot of the listeners might not really know that Julia is writing her own book. And she has been putting it together now for a year or more, maybe longer than that. And everybody kept saying, when are you going to get it done? And so now you said you've been devoting time to really putting it together, haven't you?
Yeah, the messages have been coming through louder and louder to get it done, and it's very, very important to get it done now. I mean, I kept waiting. I kept saying, when it's time, they'll put the pen in my hand. You know, I wasn't feeling compelled to write, but they would give me messages, and little by little, they were getting louder and louder. And now they're doing just about everything but putting the pen in my hand. I mean, they're making it very known through other people. They're delivering messages. It's time for you to get this done. Do it now. Do it now. And so it's like, okay. So
you said in the lecture you gave this last week in Norwich, you talked about the book that you're going to be writing, didn't you?
Right. Well, I brought in, it's, you know, like who you really are. And what the whole, the game Earth is about and how we communicate with ourselves. And that brings into the book, what the book is about is how we translate our messages that we deliver to ourselves through our body. And it's just a translation manual for that, because we were never given that when we came here. Mm-hmm. So, and
yeah, because
if we
it
can
goes along with my work, because of the body giving you a message through illness in different parts of the body, and what does it mean?
Right, and it is based on your work. So that's where. But every time you had a class, they were telling me so loud, "This, you need to write this book. You need to write this book." Like, okay, fine. uh-huh. So if anybody has this bugging them all the time, listen. I mean, that's they do have, it's you with a purpose, with a message. I want to interrupt us right now. We have Alfonso on the line with a question. So if we can let him. Okay. Hi,
right,
Alfonso.
Hey, Julia.
Yeah, Julia can see on Skype when there's somebody calling in. Yeah, go ahead. Give us your name and where you're from.
My name is Alfonso, and I'm from Alabama.
What?
So, my name is Alfonso, and I'm from Alabama.
Alabama, okay. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, ma'am. I have two questions for you. Okay. The first question is, in your book, Jesus in These Scenes,
yeah.
My wife was wondering how Sudi, the character Sudi, the person Sudi, who taught Jesus, she was wondering, in the life of the subject that you were interviewing, how can you go from Sudi in spiritual awareness to the young lady who was equivalent to being spiritually unaware? You get what I'm saying, Dolores? Like,
yeah. The other people have asked that question, too, because we were getting mail when that book first came out from swamis and spiritual leaders all over the world, and they were saying, oh, this woman must be very highly advanced spiritually to have had a life like that. And they wanted to meet her, and I said, no, because she's just an ordinary housewife with a family and trying to take care of her husband and her children. And they're thinking, I guess, that you're supposed to go from being this wise teacher to keep progressing. But it doesn't seem to work that way. And the way I saw it explained was like you have a puzzle. And one life you might have a piece down here in this one corner. Then the next life you may have another piece up in the other corner. And they don't relate at all. So one may be more highly advanced than the other. It depends on what your lesson you're learning in that lifetime. But then the next lifetime, maybe it's like, okay, I've done that. Now I've got to learn a different type of a lesson. So in this life, she's just an ordinary person who didn't even finish high school and had no knowledge of history. That was what was so amazing when she gave us all of this theological and historical information about those times. So it's like, and she doesn't even care about this. She, I don't even think she even read the book. She didn't want to know anything about it because she didn't remember anything after the sessions. All she wanted to do was just go on with her life. So it is kind of hard to understand, but does that kind of explain it?
Yes, ma'am. Very, very wonderfully answered. My next question is,
unless Julia has some more to add, it's just like each time it's a different lesson. In this school we're going to.
I think that puzzle analogy is a great one. You know, it's just different
Absolutely.
Pieces to the whole puzzle. And so that makes a lot of sense as to why it wouldn't look like it has anything to do with the other.
Because I think it was a life or two right after Sudi, the teacher of Jesus, she was a Viking cutting people's heads off. So,
yeah.
So, who's to
so,
say?
So there you go.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
My next question is,
I'm glad somebody up there is keeping track of all of this with their gigantic computers anyway.
Yes, ma'am.
But go ahead. You said you had another one you wanted to ask?
Yes, ma'am. My next question is, in the book, The Custodians, as well as in as well as in the Convoluted Universe Book 1, you referenced something called the Triangle Project. And what I've taken from the Triangle Project, and what I think it is people working on multiple levels. Can you explain that a little more to me? I'm sorry, I can't even explain it.
I'm trying to remember what I wrote about, because I've written so many books since that one. It talking about working on different levels, is that what you mean?
Yes, ma'am. You called it twice, and I picked it up, because I've read the Convoluted Universe a couple times, but when I went back and read the Custodians, you referenced the Triangle Project again, and I was looking for it earlier in your work, and I couldn't find it, so I was just wondering if you had anything. It's like the, I guess it was people working on multiple different levels of experience. Like, I think the subject that you use or the client you use, what I'm looking for. She was like, at one point she was the universe. At another point, you know, she was just. It was just really confusing.
Yeah.
As to what it was.
Well, in the new books, it even gets more confusing. That, you know, we are living many different lifetimes and existences and different time periods and everything, different dimensions all at the same time. And we can't know about it because it would be way too confusing. All you can do is focus on this life right now. But actually, I think in the one book they called it splinters or facets,
fragments and faucets.
Yeah, of the whole soul, and that it is like splintered to live many existences all at the same time. But none of them are aware of each other. So it can get extremely complicated.
Well, I mean, go back to your puzzle analogy.
Yeah.
Okay, you have all these, you have a puzzle. It's a one soul, one big piece that's broken up into a lot of pieces. And they're all intertwined because they're part of the whole. But they're all different individual pieces that are doing things on their own. So, but they all go into the same puzzle. So it's like all these different experiences you are having at the same time. You are the puzzle.
Yeah, they describe it maybe like a giant crystal. It has many
facets. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's one way of looking at it. Each facet is a different lifetime. Or mm-hmm. if the crystal were to shatter and you have all these splinters and shards that go out. But it is still all, like you said, all part of the one, part of the whole.
Right. There's been, like even in my own sessions, I've seen it different ways. So it's like there's a lot, it's different ways to show that it's all happening. You can go into all these different time periods, space-time events, essentially, and they look like it's all linear, it's all different times, but it's just episodes. You know, you're just dropping into them and having these experiences. Say that again?
Okay. So it goes right along. It goes right along with the simultaneous time period.
Absolutely.
Which is also the oscillating, it was kind of referred to the oscillating screen theory in your book. Mm-hmm. That was really good. So it kind of reminds me of what you were referring to, the fragments. At the end of your book, Convoluted 4, the last chapter, I think, was called Fragments United.
Yeah, they reunite. And I think it was the end of Convoluted 3, too. It was talking about how we all come back together at the end. Mm-hmm. All the pieces come back together.
We're integrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they reunite and become one whole at that time.
And at that time, you will also be able to see these different parts. You know, as it all comes back together, that's when you start knowing all the different parts of you.
But I have some clients that they know that they're actually living somewhere else. And sometimes they're aware of this other person, even in our time period, living another life in another city. And every once in a while, they said they get flashes of that other person and their life. And when they had the session, they wanted to know if they should try to contact that person. Well, they were told that's not a good thing to do because you're not supposed to be aware of these other parts of yourself. See how confusing that would be? It's much easier just
Absolutely.
To focus on what you're doing right now. But if you were to try to contact another person, it'd be very confusing to them, that's for sure. It sounds like some of those
you are me, and I am you, and you
And some of these movies they make sometimes that are way out, but that it's really, it, these are possibilities. But it, in all of that is also all your past lives and all your probable future lives, and so it could get really mind-bending.
Pretty fun. So I guess I've asked enough questions and maybe freed up someone's call. So in closing, I just want to say thank you both. Thank you both for what y'all doing. We love the books and keep the information coming.
Thank
you
so much for listening.
You know, I say in the books, these are mind-bending concepts, and they're mind candy for you to think about, and then, you know, don't take it all too seriously and just go on about your life. But it's interesting anyway. Okay,
well,
thank you,
Dolores. Thank you, Julia,
thank you,
and y'all have a great night.
Okay, we have Michael. Michael's on the call now too, so he's been waiting patiently. So,
all right, let him come through.
Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Where are you calling from, Mike?
I'm calling from Iowa, actually.
Yeah. Okay. What is your question?
It's kind of funny, actually. I saw a video the first time I heard of you and your work, whatever. I was actually looking up information on Indigo Children, and I stumbled upon an interview that you had done, and we're talking about the volunteers. And I thought it was interesting, and I let it go for a few months, whatever. And then I remember laying in bed one night thinking, if I could do something to be perfect, what would you do to be perfect? And I thought, well, assuming that the universe was just limited to Earth, I guess, because that's all, you know, right now that I know actually exists for I guess what you could call a fact. I said I would live every life on Earth, and that way I would know what is perfect and imperfect or whatever. And the next time I looked up an interview of you or whatever, some more information, that's kind of what you were talking about. And so, and this has happened several times. I would think of something, then I go look up, and then all of a sudden you guys would be talking about it, whether it be on a live show like tonight or just an interview or whatever. And so it's kind of funny. You guys are just talking about that. So I don't know. My question has kind of already been answered. I don't know. You guys must have something in my head, or you can read my thoughts.
That's the thing. In this art school, you have to live every life, every possibility, and every country, every religion, every race. That's what you have to do before you're finished. But you talk about being perfect. I don't think anybody is ever perfect. And the best, all you can do is the best you can do, you know. But, you know, a lot of these lives live.
I guess what I meant by that is there's this photo that's on the internet in different places, and it's there's a long-range photo of like a galaxy or something like that, and then there's a photo of brain cells, and they look very, very similar. And the joke kind of that somebody made was, what if inside our minds there's a universe of people and and they're living out something or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I guess kind of what I was thinking was, if God is the center of the universe, maybe we're all just bits of his mind trying to work everything out to...
That's in my books. I don't know if you haven't found it by now. That we are cells in the body of God. And that inside your body is an entire universe. And all the cells, all the organs, everything is an entire universe inside your body. That's why you can talk to your body and tell it how much you love it and how much you appreciate what it's doing, and you can keep your self healthy that way. But when you talk to your body, because it is a universe in there, when you talk to your body, you are the voice of God speaking to that body, and it listens to you. It says, wow, somebody's paying attention to me. But, yeah, it does. It goes from the microcosm to the macrocosm. That if we are cells in the body of God, what do we have inside of us? They said even in the fibers of the rug are universes. That's how tiny it goes. You can't even begin to understand the how this is, because it's just mind-boggling. Did that make sense, or did I mess you up a little more?
It makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. It's because I think about this stuff all the time, and I have only read, I think, just one of your books, and which was Keepers of the Garden, and I've just started on the Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth and everything like that. So, and I'm planning on doing a lot more. It's just
I have 17 books out there, and there's a lot.
Yeah, I know you have an entire library of information.
There's tons of information. Anything you want to read about in metaphysics, you're probably going to find it in my books anyway. But that's what I love, the questions that make people think. I'm so curious, I want to ask everything I can think of. And I figure if I don't know it, maybe other people won't know it, and they'd be interesting in finding out. So that's why I said the books, my Convoluted Universe books, are for those people who want their minds bent like pretzels. And so, it's just asking questions and looking at all the strange answers we're getting.
There was another instance where I had a dream one time where I was just kind of in this red, it was like a red, area. Like, it was just red color, and it felt really, really stressful and, I didn't want to be there. I knew that I didn't want to be there. And then just kind of in the dream, I felt like I could, it said, keep going, just keep going, it's okay, just keep going. And all of a sudden, I was in a blue space, and it was really, really nice, and I never wanted to leave. I was like, this is amazing. But, I knew I had to. And then that was another case where I think it was that next week, and you guys had done a show, and Julia had brought up something about she saw, or someone had seen, a kind of a vision like that, where it was a spectrum of color and emotion or something, where one side was really red and it was really heavy and it was kind of negative, and then all of a sudden it kind of shifted to blue. So that was another thing that I was just, that's why I think you guys are reading my mind or something. I don't know.
it's weird. That sounds
like the explanation that Julia gives about the new earth, you know.
Right, and just now when you were talking about that, before you said that sounded like mine, the whole thing came back. I said, I was thinking, that's that.
Because some people see it as blue colors, and if people like it, they don't want to leave it. But it's amazing that people are getting the same impressions. For a long time, people wouldn't talk about any of this. They think you were crazy, but now people are. They're not afraid of it anymore. And we're getting the same explanations from everybody all over the world. Because, I've trained so many thousands of people now, and they're getting the same answers from their clients. So I think we're on to something anyway. You can't keep repeating these things by accident.
Yeah, I think there's a definite need for this kind of stuff. I think people want to do it. It's just a matter of being curious about it and warming up to it.
Well, I think now it's no longer considered, blasphemous to question. For so many years, they always say, don't ask any questions, just accept what we say. But now people want to ask questions. They want to know more. I think that's a good thing.
I think that's these waves.
Yes, definitely.
They come in not accepting and not conforming. So they question everything, and so that causes everybody else to question.
Yeah.
It's why have we been doing it that way? Why haven't we looked at it further?
Yeah, I don't want to just have be told what to think. I want to think for myself. So that's what I tell people. Don't believe what I say. Don't believe what anybody else says. Ask lots and lots of questions. Then come up with your own truth. And your truth may not be my truth, but it'll be yours. But but at least you'll find it out by asking questions. So don't give your power away to anybody. Just think for yourself. And I think that's where we're going.
Right.
Okay, is that all the questions you want to ask?
Yes, that's plenty. I won't take up any more of your time. I just want to say thanks, and you guys are doing really great work.
Well, thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. Okay, Julia, is there anybody else, or can we just go ahead and talk?
We can go ahead. There's nobody right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there might be some more come in. Okay, but we were talking about your book and the meanings of the different parts of the body when you have problems in those parts of the body. And you yourself said there are a lot of books out there which talk about what this means and that means. Like, for instance, the eyes, something wrong with your eyes, is what don't you want to see. But in my work, we're finding what I call the exception to the rule. That's too simple to say this means that. That there are always other things that it can mean. That's the exception to the rule.
Well,
so
it just
you're going
it's,
off
and,
in that
but,
direction, aren't you?
Right. Well, you have your basics, and then what I was told, what has to be different about this book that will be different from all the other books, because they're on the right track. I mean, there's a you can see a theme running through this because this information is coming from the same place, and it's time because this is the translation manual. You know, this is what it is. These are the informations that we've been needing, and here it's coming in. It's been coming in, and different people have been able to translate it. So that's not the new thing. What they have stressed to me, what is very important. Is granted this will have the exceptions, but mainly it's making you look and you look into it. But they've stressed to me it's the process that is so important to understand. There are some books out there that have things detailed like to the nth degree what they mean. And it was actually intimidating me to read some of these things and see how they were doing it. And I'm thinking, why are you having me do this? This person is much more knowledgeable about this. They've got it broken down into a fine, fine, detailed science. I thought, what do I need for? And they said, they've overdone it and they've made it so that you have to look outside of yourself for the answers. And that's what they've told me is it's the process. And you must go within. You must learn how to go within for your answers. And so it's using the process to look at the symptoms and look at the message and understand it that way. So that way you are developing your connection stronger and stronger all the time. The answer is not to go outside of yourself. The answer is to go within, which we've heard all the time. We hear that over and over. Well, that's what they said. They've told me you must write this book from that direction. You must teach people how to do this. So that's what will really be different of this.
But, that's what I've found. We know, from our work anyway, people can heal themselves because you make yourself sick. Your mind's powerful enough to make yourself sick. It's also powerful enough to heal you. You find out, why did I do this to myself? What's it trying to tell me? But people haven't got that yet, that they can do it themselves and heal their own bodies. So they're always looking for somebody else to fix them. Fix me. And they go from healer to healer, it's different sessions of people trying to heal them, but don't realizing they have the power within themselves to figure it out.
Right, right. We have a caller if we want to let that person in real quick.
Go ahead.
This is Tina from Arizona.
Oh, okay. What's your question?
Hi, Dolores.
Hi.
My question really is sort of very general. My husband and I recently have started reading your books, even just a couple years ago. And we have done a lot of the inside, soul searching and I would say 500 books in. And we're just still trying to sort of figure out, sort of our purpose, our specific purpose. We feel like it's just a challenge that we're woken up and now we're stuck in this, in between worlds. We're stuck in this world of nobody really, understands us. If we want to be our authentic self, they don't, they don't speak the same language as us. We're not on the same frequency anymore. But it's almost like a, an alcoholic who goes through AA, they can't relate to the people anymore. So we're trying to figure out, we also have two very intuitive children who we teach all of this stuff to. I mean, they're 5 and 7 and they know that we read the convoluted universe. But we're trying to figure out how to stay on purpose and follow our truth without making anybody else wrong or anything like that. I guess that's my biggest question.
You mean you want to know what your purpose is?
Well, we're trying to figure out, yes.
Without, how they live their purpose without making it like others are wrong. And
right, because it feels like if you tell them why you're doing something or not doing something any longer, then they're maybe, threatened in what they're doing. And I'm not really worried about them as much as I'm trying to figure out, what exactly is our role. We feel like our role might be just to hold space and hold energy. We've sort of unplugged from all our old ways and just very interested in what you do. We've been learning, so much about it and following you.
And I heard, she'll probably have an answer too, but I heard bingo when you said hold a space and hold the energy, because that is what you're here for.
Right.
That sounds like second wave, doesn't it, Julie?
Right. You are here. Yeah, and then you're waking up. I mean, you are here. Everybody's here to hold this energy. They're bringing in the energy to help raise the vibrations. And that is like the vital function right now. And some people say, well, that's not very much to do. That's huge. That's why we're here.
Sometimes you feel like you're not doing as much, but we've sort of unplugged from society and from the old ways. And, it's a little bit lonely.
Right.
Well, that's what some of my clients say. Well, I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing. What am I supposed to be doing? And they said, you're not supposed to do anything. You're just supposed to be. But they said, yeah, but I want to do something. And they said, you are by being.
And that's right. My husband says that to me all the time. And I'm like, well, that can't be. That's crazy.
It's too easy.
But we've been learning how to do that. We really have. Dolores, we have a mutual friend by the name of Karen Kaufman over here in Arizona. She's the one that does the medallions, the necklaces, your real creation.
Yeah.
And we're sharing that we have very, very, very few limited people that we can talk to about this, about this stuff. So it's very exciting, to listen to your things and kind of know that we're not alone, but it still makes you wonder, how you're supposed to live in the world, on the planet still.
Yeah. Are you near Sedona?
No, we actually moved from North Phoenix to Surprise. We live a little bit off the grid now, and we keep wondering, what are we doing here? We were really guided here, and we just can't figure out why exactly we're here.
Okay, because I was thinking if you were around Sedona, there's a lot of spiritual people there and spiritual organizations.
Well,
but you're not
spiritual people.
You're not in that area, though, around Sedona, then.
No, but we go up there. No, we're more south. We're by Phoenix, but we, Phoenix and Scottsdale and, we go to a lot of the spiritual fairs, and it's the same thing, though. 3 years ago when we moved here, we were doing what you were just saying. We were hopping from healer to healer, looking outside of ourselves, trying to get, an answer to ease our discomfort. The discomfort comes from not understanding how you survive in a world where you're just like, this world is crazy. Like, they're just, everyone's asleep, and they're nuts, and how do I fit in? And that's kind of depressing, You can't just go to the barbecue on Friday night. Because you want to talk to somebody about all this stuff. So luckily, I have my husband. We've been together almost 17 years, and we have two beautiful kids, and we homeschool them, and we, we're all learning it together, actually, as a family.
Yeah, you go to these other events and go into pretend mode, make-believe mode.
You have to really pretend.
Yes.
Sometimes your energy fills.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just exchange the information and
just,
right.
If he's talking, have him come over.
Come over here, Vitaly. Oh, she's saying if you're talking, come on over. Vitaly's adding something.
I can't hear you that far away.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to add, you know, with regards to, I know you're a little bit concerned other people don't understand you. Hi, hello, I'm Vitaly from London. But I want to say that do not forget that your auric field around you, it contains all the necessary information. And then when you interact with people, the exchange takes place. And then from there, on a subconscious level, changes takes with other people as well. So as Dolores rightly say, you just have to be. Just be there. You know, if you don't talk about it, it doesn't mean you just don't talk about through sound. But what do? You exchange for the information on the energetic level. So you do your work as normal, but you just don't talk about it.
Yeah, you give the best example you can, you know, to live your life in the best way you can. And people pick up on that energy. And that's very important.
Well, they do. They tell us we live in a bubble. We don't live in reality. but they like to be around us, you know. So we always joke. We always, you know, say, well, it's pretty good in our bubble.
Yeah.
They like to be around us. They can't explain why, you know, because they sort of resist it. But I understand that what you're saying about the field now.
Right.
Well, you influence a lot more people than you think you do just by being yourself. You don't have to talk to them. You definitely don't have to try to change them or convert anybody. Just by being a good example, you're influencing a lot more people than you think.
But well, just living your truth. Just living your truth, then it affects everybody. So,
you know, always remember that other person who doesn't believe or doesn't want to know will eventually come to that stage of evolution. So you see the reflection of yourself in other people.
Yeah, the mirror.
Right. You guys, my husband is next to me. Would it be okay if he asks a question? He's a little more further into all of your readings than I am.
Absolutely.
Okay, hold on a sec. His name is Alan.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alan. Dolores, I listen to a lot of your interviews on YouTube, and some of them you speak about us as a society, you know, going into the fourth or the fifth dimension and then actually experiencing and living past time or moving, you know, past, evolving past time as timeline on Earth or in this matrix or whatever. Would this happen in our lifetime? Like, we're talking about next 10, 15, 20 years, or is this something that the human race will, you know, move into evolution-wise in the next, you know, a few hundred years? Like, I was always interested, like, time-wise, what does that mean? Is this something we can look forward to as, you know, this ascension is upon us, or is this something, like, you know, is down the line? Does this make sense?
But, you know, what I've found is it's already happening right now. It's not going to be down the line. It's happening now.
And if we want to go one step further, last year they told me it's already happened. It's already done. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what to expect. We have expectations of what it's supposed to look like, so that's why we aren't seeing it. They said, you'll see it when you believe it. So when we start believing that it's already done, we will see the evidence of it. But we all have this date out here in December that something big is supposed to happen, so we're putting it out there. We're creating it there. But if we go ahead and accept that it's already happened or is happening, but definitely they told me it's happened, then you would actually start seeing it. That's like we were standing outside tonight, and you were talking about how everything is different. Everything looks different. That's because the ascension symptoms are all the time. Everything, and we just look outside, you'll see that things don't look the same. You just have to look with different eyes and hear with different ears, and you just have to go into a different space, and you'll see that your body will allow other messages through.
Talk about the pheasant, the power of forgiveness.
Oh, well, yeah.
Do.
Oh, I don't know. Is that appropriate? Is that I don't know if that's it's applicable. But we had just a few weeks ago. We you know, pheasants are big over here, and they're not so much in America that I know of. But over here, they run wild. They're kind of like the possums and the, you know,
the roadrunners.
Anyway,
we
were driving
like that.
right. The roadrunners. Well, except these run. Yeah. Anyway, we were driving to the neighboring town, and this pheasant got trapped. There was a truck approaching us, and the pheasant was crossing the road, and it tried to avoid the truck, so it ran right back in front of us. and we ran over it, and we're just like, oh no, you know, it's this beautiful pheasant. It was like, oh no. So we stopped the car immediately, and Vitaly's like, we must go out and ask forgiveness. And I'm thinking, oh my God, we just stopped in the middle of the road, and we're going to get hit, you know? So anyway, we get out, and we first try to find the pheasant, and I expected to be in the middle of the road where we hit it. It was clear on the other side of the road, and we're like, oh my gosh, okay, there it is. It's laying there dead, and so we're going over there to go approach it, and we, as we get closer, I think we're about 5 or 6 feet from it, all of a sudden it pops up its head, and it's like looking around like, what? And so it jumps up, and I'm just like, and it starts to run back out in the road, and I'm like, get out of here. And it runs, it jumps up, and it goes over into the field and just went running off. And we looked at each other, it's like, what just happened? And what we were hearing was that was the power of these are the things that you're going to start hearing. It was an instant miracle. We just saw a miracle right in front of us, but it's a matter of accepting that.
But the funny thing was is that the lady behind in the car stopped and said, oh, guys, are you okay? Do you need a mobile phone? I said, no, I think I need a drink.
That's so funny. We do notice more and more miracles happening now. I just have one more question. You know, I wanted to know if you guys would recommend. So when we talk about being, obviously that's different than doing. And I think that we do both now. But, you know, what you do as we keep thinking that we have to still seek and do, you know, possibly do something. So it came to, you know, one time I actually did a regression, past life regression. And, you know, my husband and I are both interested in that. And we read about how you regress. And another person came into our awareness who does it, who's offering us, you know, sessions. But we keep thinking to ourselves, maybe we don't need it. Maybe we just have to be. Would it be beneficial for us to do, you know, a regression with somebody? So we're just trying to figure out what is the difference between you're saying be, you know, and hold space, or do and, you know, look further.
Wow. Well, look, everything you need, you already have it. It truly is. The fact that you're questioning is also it's an indication that you don't need to look for anything on the outside anymore. It's simple as that. Just follow your intuition. You just said that.
It's guided and it helps you look deeper into yourself. But you're saying you don't need somebody's assistance to do that.
They're going to tell you what you already know.
Yes, or all going to take you away from your past. Simple as that. From what you're ready, what you feel on the inside. You know, you have the truth on the inside, and you know how to. It's just a matter of how you access it. Whether you ask other people. I mean, there are people who give you indications, some clues that will trigger something within you and say, aha, that makes sense to me. But look on the inside. You already know it. That's the whole thing.
Well, and what I got was if you do this, it'll just reinforce what you already have discovered, what you already know. So
I mean, believe is a dead end. You know, keep looking for it, but look on the inside.
Right. That's what I said a while ago. You know, the people are looking for somebody else to fix them, you know, to heal them, to fix them, when they don't realize they can do it themselves. You just have to bring more confidence.
I think once you realize it, it's a little scary, but once you do realize, you do know that you don't have to look outside. And the way that Alan and I knew that we needed to stop looking outside of ourselves is because we hit one point where, you know, you talk to this psychic, that intuitive, this healer, that chiropractor, everybody. We started to realize that we didn't resonate with the information, but we figured it was a great lesson. The reason that it felt wrong is because we intuitively already knew the answer. They were teaching us to listen to ourselves over somebody else.
Yeah, because you do know the answer. You just don't realize it, and you want somebody else to tell you when you do have it all inside of you.
Right. Oh, that's really beautiful.
Okay. Well, you think that's answered? You think that's answered most of your questions, or stirred up more? I guess probably.
Yeah.
Well, I can throw this conversation to a whole different topic and just ask you a quick question and see. Do you foresee a mass landings like David Wilcock is discussing and some other interesting people on the internet are discussing about possibly ETs interfering or not interfering or helping with our ascension?
Yeah, ETs are not allowed to interfere. They're just here to watch us and see how we're going to do it. Because you remember that's the prime directive of non-interference. They can't. They're the watchers. They can't interfere with anything. We have to do it ourselves, and they're hoping we're going to do it correctly. But
you start seeing some
landings to take us anywhere or anything. They're just watching us to see how we're going to pull it off.
Right, but they're interfering on some levels. Well, according to some sources online, for example, they're interfering with chemtrail planes and doing.
No, they don't have nothing to do with any of that. ETs get blamed for a lot of things that they don't have anything with.
All right, I'm glad you clarified that. I really, really appreciate it.
No, they're not allowed. All they can do is watch. And a lot of the stuff they get blamed for, just think about it. They don't do that. They got a lot more important things to do than that. Start thinking about where does that information come from? Who is spreading it? A lot of it is called disinformation or misinformation. So start thinking about where is that information coming from, and then you'll get your answers. Because I've worked with ETs over 25 years, and I know their agenda, and I know how they think, and they're wonderful, beautiful people. So you don't have anything to worry about them. You know, they're here to help us. Okay. I know David Wilcox has his own work, so that's his work anyway.
Okay. Yeah, no, thank you for saying that.
What did you say about... Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Okay.
And we have another caller.
Yeah, Julie,
Kim,
I don't think we're
going to
have time for any more.
Are you still there, Kim?
Yeah, I am.
Wonderful. Thank you for being patient there. And we have just a few minutes, so hopefully we can get you taken care of here.
Will we have another one? Because we only have a few minutes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This is Kim from Hawaii.
Okay, because I was going to have some other things to talk about, but let's go ahead then. Okay, what's your question?
Yeah, well, this is very brief anyways. Okay. Hey, I just wanted to throw something out at you, and if you want to say what you think about it, that would be wonderful. There are some people that I'm certain that you know that I don't have their permission to drop their name, okay? But we're putting together a Woodstock of consciousness for a mass gathering. Has not been decided where. We know it's going to be by the end of summer. And I'm willing to put my email out if anyone wants to get a hold of me to keep up on it. And what do you think about that?
What island are you going to have it on?
It's going to be on the mainland.
Oh, I thought you meant in Hawaii.
Location.
You were calling from Hawaii.
I am. I live in Hawaii, but this is a group on the mainland.
Oh, okay. Well, it's something you're putting on. Is that what you want to tell them about? Is that what you mean?
Well, I'm not doing it individually. It's an event that's going to happen. It's being put out there, and it's kind of in the process of evolving right now.
Okay.
What do you think about a gathering in a mass consciousness?
They've done them before, you know, over the last 20 years. They've had many of those.
Okay.
When they had the, what they called the opening of the door on 11/11, and they've done the other ones with the, have to do with the earth, which, there were so many of them where they had mass consciousness all over the world focusing on something on a certain day at a certain time. They've had a lot of those before. So, you know, if people want to participate in them, I guess it's okay. As long as it's for positive. What would you say, Julia? I know there have been a lot of those in the past.
Right, they're probably being guided to do it, and saying at the end of summer, that's probably a solstice there that they're working with, and so, it never hurts. I mean, if people are waking up, they, you know, this helps, you know, people to know what's going on. I apologize, we're going to have to cut it short. I just got the 2-minute warning, so we need to wind it up, so sorry about that.
Yeah, because they're telling us they'll pull the plug if we go over. Okay, but no, you go ahead and, you know, participate in whatever you think is right for you. Okay.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. But I do want to tell people, Julie, where can they find out about our conferences coming up in July? And that's our 7th Transformation Conference here in Arkansas. And then we're going to have the we're doing the Transformation Conference in London, and that's in August, isn't it?
That's the very end of August, and the 1st and 2nd of September in London.
The
and then
time.
July, it's
13th
to the 15th
London.
In Rogers, Arkansas.
And
then find
we're
out
going to have
about those events
too,
and all
of
the other events
on
your website, DoloresCannon.com or OzarkMountain.com. Our publishing site, I just went blank, OzarkMT.com. You can tell I'm in another country. I don't know how to talk.
It's OzarkMT.com.
Right, right. Anyway, I know that we need to get off.
About
so
the conference in July in Arkansas and about the conference in London in August, and then the cruise of the Mediterranean is in October.
October 5th to the 15th. It's a
10-day,
11-day cruise.
We'll be gone for 3 months over there in that part of the world. So there's a lot going on if anybody out there is interested in these things. And people are already signing up for the conference here in Arkansas.
Right.
So
and then you have a workshop
at
Dee Wallace coming up in a few weeks and next month. So we want to promote that, too. Don has given me the high sign here. We got to go.
Okay, but I will not be on the next 2 weeks. Next week, I speak at a UFO conference, and the week after, I'm in the Bahamas. So it'll be 3 weeks before I'm live again.
Okay.
But
okay,
thanks
he's pulling
everybody
it.
For tuning in tonight and talking with us. Thank you.
Bye.